here we are. In your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Let's sing in that church. Yes, here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you.
Just don't know what I can say.
Oh yes.
I'm not worthy to speak your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Yet you tell me could be this way.
Oh yes, Lord. Say it to him, church.
I never thought I'd be the one. But you found me dying in my sin.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you can say, here we are? Not here we used to be, but here we are. We're still in the fight. We're still racing. How many of you racing to win tonight? Second place is the first loser. I want to win, don't you? We will win by the grace of God. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say this. You are a winner. Play some more of it, brethren, if you will. Can't hear you, Gee. Play it. Play the song. Hallelujah. You're a winner. You're a winner. Give me a song for tonight. Yes, okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're a winner, my friend. You're a winner. That's right. You're a winner, buddy. You're a winner, Brother Samuel. God bless you. You're a winner. Cheek, you're a winner. Amen. You're a winner, Brother Eddie. God bless you. Sing that second verse for me again.
I never know.
Hallelujah.
That it could be.
Oh, somebody say praise the Lord.
Way. I never thought
I'd be that one.
But you found me.
Aren't you glad he did?
Dying in my sin. And you looked at
yes,
me.
Yes, you did.
With love that took me in.
Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give the Lord a lovely hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Well, we had a time here Wednesday night, didn't we? Did you enjoy the video, the DVD they played of, you know, Brother Darrell did such a wonderful job doing that. And I told him, I said, Brother Darrell, we have all heard you tell that in different segments, different times throughout the years. But somehow or another, when you just sit down and see it all combined together, you just really appreciate what the Lord done for Sister Jessica Ward, don't you? It's just a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. We just thank God, but he's that kind of God. He just loves to do that kind of thing. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother David Seiler, if you'll get ready to pray over these requests tonight. We'll invite the presence of our Lord. Already believe he's among us tonight. I want to pray for Sister Wilma Benton. Remember her in prayer for healing. She is at home, very sick, needs a touch from the Lord. An unspoken request. This was turned into the library. God knows all about the need. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Tony Wheaton says to please pray for my baby. She has a very bad head cold, an ear infection in both of her ears, and doesn't have much energy or appetite. She's feeling very miserable. Please pray that God will heal her. Thank you, and may God bless. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. I want to pray for Rita Green's grandson, Braylon, that all will be well as he is having some tests done after a seizure-type episode today. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Keith Strader's mother, Joyce, from West Virginia. She's under hospice care, and the family asked for prayer during this time, so we'll commit that to the Lord. Brother Don Riddleball is at home tonight, not feeling well, so we want to remember him in prayer as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Sister Joy Shantis wants us to pray for Brother Ron Shantis. He's not feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight, so we certainly remember our brother. Sister Martha Ann sends this in, praising our Lord Jesus for my safe journey
home from Florida, and my mother is stabilized after internal bleeding. She had to have 5 units of blood while I was with her in the hospital and when she went home to recuperate. So she wants to say thank you for your prayer. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. Brother Amos sends this in to please remember Sister Jessica. That's a cousin of Brother Kevin Cassador, 35 years old. Recently was baptized, had a stroke, and at last report is on life support. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that God would be mindful of that situation. Ryan and Andrew Kennedy request prayer for jobs. They are both in need of work, so we just commit that to the Lord. We believe God's able to supply that need. And then we have a card from Brother Junior Davis, Sister Judy tonight. I'm going to take the time to read it to you. It says, Happy Valley Church, I want to thank all of you wonderful people for the cards, calls, the text, and the flowers that you have sent. But most of all, for all the prayers and concern for me, I am truly one blessed man. The doctors want to start treatment on Monday, the 20th of May. This next week will be kind of busy for me trying to get everything done in order to start the treatments. I covet your prayers. All is well, Brother J.R. and Sister Judy. We praise the Lord for that family, don't we? We just continue to commit them unto the Lord. We know that God has got the whole situation in His hands. That's the best place in the world to have it, in the hands of the Lord. Certainly glad that Brother Caleb Yance is still recuperating nicely, doing good. And we just got so much to be thankful for, don't we? If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, could we stand? Let's sing that little chorus just one more time as Brother David Seiler comes to lead us to the Lord. Here we are. In your presence, we're lifting holy hands to you. And here we are. Let you be.
He's brought us through. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for all your grace and mercy that you give us. Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every answered prayer, Lord. We see you moving, Lord, in great ways, mighty ways, and we are so thankful for it. Lord, the request that's been turned in this evening, we ask, Lord, that you be mindful of each one. Lord, those that are sick, we pray, Lord, may they just claim, Lord, what you've already done for them 2,000 years ago. Lord, we ask that you move upon their bodies. Make them well, Lord. That baby that's sick, Lord, that's needing a touch from you. Lord, the enemy be weak to attack a baby. But we come together as a believers, Lord, as a body of Jesus Christ, and we call out on behalf of that child, asking, Lord, that you would touch it tonight. Father, we ask, Lord, for our brother Junior. He's our brother. We believe, Lord, that you're a healer. Jesus. We believe you are his healer tonight. Jesus. You said by your stripes, Lord, that brother Junior Davis is healed, and we claim it tonight with him. Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would move up on these requests. Lord, those that need jobs, Lord, we know you have the right one, just what they have need of. Lord, I pray that you lead them to it, guide them to it. Be in the service tonight. Move in a great way. May the Spirit of the Lord have liberty among us tonight. May the enemy flee from the building as the presence of God. Hallelujah. As it moves throughout the congregation, Lord. We invite you into this building, Lord. Come have your way tonight, Lord. May sickness leave us. May demons leave us. May the presence of God have His way in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it's revival time, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the service tonight from around the world, may God richly bless all those folks as well. Brother Junior, in his card, he ended it with all is well. So let's just sing that song. I don't know if he's listening to the service tonight. He may be. If he is, Brother Junior, this is for you. All is well. It's all well for every one of us if we just believe the Lord, right? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him one more clap of praise if you love him tonight.
Of course.
Yes, all is well. Yes, all is well. Message alone, all is well. Tonight, well, you're just singing so good tonight. May God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. Sister Lisa, if you come, get us a song. Brother David Siler is going to give us a song tonight. He claims I can't sing, but we claim that he can. And you don't get to be here that much, and while you're here, we just want to use you tonight. That's all right, Brother David. Amen. Let's enjoy our singers tonight as they sing.
I took
world of unbelief, I believe. Amen. I believe that He can. I believe He still is. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, He can. Well, I'm telling you He can. And I know that He'll stand right by my side with this world-touch covenant. And I said that no one has ever done what He's done. He laid down His life, but He rose to live again.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. That's good, wasn't it? Don't you never say you can't sing again.
I like to hear Brother David sing. He's just a Baptist in his way.
I know.
You ever get him out of that old Baptist stuff, Will? Let's turn to the book of Job tonight, if you would. Book of Job, chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading verse 24. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Now listen to this again. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Is this possible? Can fear have such power that it can bring to you what you're afraid of? Can fear have as much negative substance as faith can have positive? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we believe these words are the truth written from the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. Lord, this man in his trouble and all of his anguish and sorrow, he's looking back. He's thinking of what he's been through. Now he's come to a recognition. He helped bring it to pass. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Father, from the examples in your word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. From these passages of scripture, I'd like to speak to you tonight on the effects of fear. The effects of fear. And we know fear, there's a real godly fear that we must have. A fear that is absolutely necessary and essential to serving God. There's actually a reverential fear that a wife should have for her husband. Not afraid of being beaten now and all that sort of thing, but it's a respect and an honor. There is an element of fear that the deacons of this church here, or the ministers, or people in office and position, police officers, state troopers, mayors, governors, so on and so on, president of the United States. But there is another kind of fear that is absolutely of the devil. It is ungodly. It is out of hell. And we want to try to slay it tonight by God's help. Now let me read to you from the message entitled Perfect Faith so you'll be able to get a setting. Paragraph 102. In the book of Job, it says here, Job feared. And what he feared actually happened. What brought it? His fear. So you mean that a person can fear something so much, so long, and so persistent that their fear has the capability of bringing that thing to pass? Now notice how Brother Branham lays this out. He said, what brought it? His fear. That's what made it happen. So then fear is not a powerless emotion. Fear is not just a mental something in your mind that has no reigning authority in your mind and in your body, or even in circumstances which are exterior from your person. So fear can couple with unbelief, which it does, of course. And yet fear somehow releases a power that can actually bring a substance and bring into material realm things which were impossible. And yet they become possible. And how did it become possible? Not by faith, but by fear. So now watch Brother Branham as he lays this out, because it's quite astounding here. He says, what brought it? His fear. That's what made it happen. His faith would have kept him from it, but his fear brought him, or brought it to him. He was scared it was going to happen, and it did happen. So then his faith in the Word, now even though he might have suspicioned, he might have feared that one day the blessing of God would leave his life and the material things around him, something might happen, the economy might change, and things might happen and turn away from him. His great reputation among the people, that might go away and he might become one that would be laughed at and ridiculed. He may have fought that. And he may have thought about it, you know, week in, week out, or monthly, or yearly, or whatever. But if he would have kept his faith in what God had positionally made him to be, then his faith would have actually kept us from it. Oh, but now, Brother Donnie, now God used this and it was a trial and he turned it into a blessing. Yeah, he sure did. But that don't mean it was God's original will. Many of our trials, God turns them into a blessing too, but it don't necessarily mean it's God's fault. And it don't necessarily mean that God even ordained you to do it. It's just God taking a mess and turning it into something good for the kingdom of God. Because we can't have the opposite now of scriptures going opposite one against the other in quotes. So then we look at this and see that there is a power that can come with faith and actually transmits it so strong that it can become such a substance that it will bring that which is invisible and unseen, even though it's on the negative side, into a material world. Now, can't you see what power that fear can actually have? The very opposite of faith. So what does faith do? Faith brings into a material world something that seems impossible. So faith can create and bring into a realm of substance that which is only invisible. Say, a revelation that God reveals something to you. There's no proof, there's no evidence, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, was the evidence of things not seen. So real faith can bring into a material world things which had no material existence. It can bring into the dimension or the elements of creation and the elements of time that which only started out as a thought in somebody's mind. But yet fear, on the other hand, can do exactly the same thing. Now, watch this, because I know this is phenomenal when you think about it. He says it brought it to him. He was scared it was going to happen, and it did happen. Now, he knowed it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen, see? You see what I mean? If you're afraid when you come by the prayer line, maybe I haven't got the faith sufficient, it'll never happen, don't worry. But if you know it's going to happen, it'll happen, see? It's a substance of something. Job had a fear that these things would come upon him, and they didn't. Now, notice, Brother Branham is not leaving the substance with only faith. But the substance works either way, with faith or fear. Now, all of us have fears. All of us are afraid of things. And all of us can be scared at times. But yet, many of those fears and those scares will never do lasting damage to you unless you let that fear become such a part of you that it becomes a part of your thoughts, it becomes a part of who you are, and then it can develop into a phobia. As of this day, there are 530 confirmed phobias. But if they talk to message people, no doubt they'd get a lot more. But there are 530 that doctors have documented and confirmed that are phobias, that are real, genuine. Now, of course, a phobia is a further advancement of a fear. It is something that is a constant, persistent something there in a person's life. So many of us get scared of certain things and certain fears would arise, and we get scared and we just go on. And God, even after the fall, God made our bodies so they would be rigged in such a way, made in such a way, that we would need an element of things there that would protect us. You see, if something started to happen to you and there was no fight or flight stimuli built inside of your body, then something could go to fall on you and you'd never move out of the way. You'd just stand there, wham, hit you right in the face. You'd be dead in a hammer.
But if something's inside of you and you're able to react and 3/4 of a second and be able to move and just step back, and that thing that would have mashed you flat as a pancake, now it's laying over there and hit a car, a window, whatever more. So God made us to where we would be able to respond to fear. But in that, Satan has studied the human race so well for 6,000 years that he's been able to take the fall and take what man was left with after the fall and be able to turn it in such a way that he would use that against man himself. Now, watch this. Brother Man said, Job had a fear. Now, watch how it can happen in a substance, in a fear or faith. Job had a fear that these things would come upon him, and they did. If you have a fear that your disease is going to leave, or he said it won't leave, it won't. If you have a faith that it will. Now, a person can be sick, afflicted, whatever it is, and yet they're being prayed for, and they do have a faith, a mental, intellectual conception of God's word. Is God a healer? Amen. Can God heal you? Yes, he can, but will he? Well, I don't know if he will or not now. I know that he can, and I know he's a healer, and I know he suffered trials for me, but I'm afraid that he won't. Now, once, then that fear that they have, if it is prevalent over their faith that he can, the fear that it's not time, or the fear that he won't, or the fear that he won't do it for them, will actually paralyze their faith, and that fear will add the substance of strength that that disease needs to remain in their body. So then actually their fear gives more muscle, as we would say, to the disease that is already there. Now the disease might be strong, it might be a deadly killer or whatever more, but yet faith could be able to actually paralyze that disease and drive it forth from the body. Then faith would give the substance, the hair on the chest, the muscles, as we'd say, to be able to make that thing leave. But fear will turn right around and also becomes a substance, a tangible something, and then the symptoms to that person are greater every day, they're feeling worse every day, and they're noticing changes every day. Can't you see what it is? Their fear is actually helping create more of a substance than what the disease itself has. That's what faith does. Faith creates some substance. When you look at it naturally, you see no different, you feel no different, things seem no different at all, but your faith says, it is better. It is different. I'm going to get over this. Why? Because your faith is creating a substance, and your faith is looking at the substance, not at the sickness. Your faith is looking at the substance which has been created by an unadulterated faith in God's word, and that's why you can look right at it and say, life right in the doctor's face and say, thank you for all your problems. We'll pay your bills on monthly payments. But God said he's healed me. God said he's healed me. And the doctor said, that man is out of his mind. But yet if it is a substance, you are healed. Now watch this. Brother Ben said, if you have a fear that your disease won't leave you, it won't. But if you have a faith that it will. Now you ask any medical doctor, the first thing he'll try to get you to do is you to have confidence in the medicine he's going to give you. If you haven't got no confidence in it, you better leave it alone. See, sure, what is it then? It's faith that does the healing. Now listen, friend, I know it's difficult for seemingly in the message, and all people think if they take medicine that's against faith, they think if they're operated on, it's against faith. We're looking at it totally wrong. God gave us all of these avenues. God gave us miracle. God gave us divine healing. God gave us medicine. There's herbs. There's all kinds of things that we can do. But what does the healing? Faith in the word. Faith. So if you believe that God would use that channel and a doctor could give you a shot, it could help you. A surgery can repair something in your body, but the surgery cannot heal you. It still takes your faith to be able to bring it to pass. But what if you're afraid that it won't happen? Now, watch this. Let's look how the Bible sets forth about fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath... How many can say amen to that by experience? Now, no matter what kind of fear or fears, as in plural, that you and I have experienced in our life, we know that fear, strong fear, has torment. And that's why fear and faith cannot be together. Now, the reason that many of us have such predominant fears in our life is because we've not reached the degree of love. It don't mean you're not Satan, as I've been saved. But it has the ability of being able to reach a degree of love in Christ that this kind of love will cast this opposition of fear away from it, because you love him so much and you believe he loves you so much that it creates a trust, and you know that his eye is on the sparrow and I know he's watching me. So no matter what the devil tries to say, I'll take your life out, I'll do this, I'll do that, you laugh right in his face and say, you can't do one thing to me unless God lets you. And if he lets you, I'm ready to go home, so I'm a winner either way. Amen. If I go out of a heart attack or if I live to be 175, I'm a winner either way. And the devil ain't got no victory over me by God's grace. Now watch. The scripture over and over again sets forth about how that we should approach the wrong kind of fear. Notice in Psalms 56:4. It says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now don't raise your hands. How many of you people can honestly say this? That you do not fear what flesh can do. Y'all fear people? You fear long-tongued liars? You fear gossipers? Well, you cowards ain't going to raise your hand. I am. People want to tell the truth on me? I'll help publish it. I ain't scared of the truth. I ain't scared of the truth in my life. I'm not scared of the life I live. But I don't mind telling you, I've been scared of liars and gossipers. Because people around the message would rather believe a lie, many of them, than they would believe the truth. And liars and gossipers and all kinds of folks can start something on you, especially if folks don't like you anyway. But David said, I will not fear what flesh. Now come on, you can say amen with me. We need help us getting away from this kind of fear. Now I ain't talking about somebody with a gun and somebody with a butcher and I'm going to cut your guts out and all that sort of thing. That's not many of our fears. Most of us will never even encounter a situation like that. But yet we will fear people. We fear flesh. We fear our boss. We fear this one, that one, the other one. How many of us, think about it in your heart, how many of us fear people of what they can do, what they can say, and yet it's the type of fear that has torment. Well, glory. Psalm 64:1 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Notice this, not from the enemy, but preserve my life from fear that I'm afraid of the enemy. Don't just preserve me from the enemy, but God, if you will preserve me from the fear of the enemy can't hurt me. Do you understand that Satan, many times, he does not have the power to do these things against us, but what he's found out is, if he can project to us the fear that he can do it, we're defeated. He wants to convince us that somehow he's got some kind of power over us, and he can make us do this and make us do that and make us do something else. He has some sort of effect on our destiny. That is a lie. He don't have to have the power to do it. But if he can convince us he has the power, then we're afraid of him. Oh my. Psalms 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. But how many of us do? Well, glory. Proverbs 1:33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet. Shanon, which is to be at ease, be at peace, rest securely, shall be quiet from fear of evil. Not evil, but from the fear of it. Friends, I'm convinced we need a great deliverance in our lives. Not just from evil, not just from the wrong, not just from the enemy, but the fear of our enemy. Notice Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men. The reproach of men. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Don't fear the reproach which is scorn, taunt, resting upon conditions of shame or disgrace. Those of you who have friends who's left the message or family who's left the message and they're taunting you about what you still believe. Don't fear. Don't fear that they're trying to hold something over you and rob you of who you are. Don't fear. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. Jesus says, fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now I love how he does this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. Now how is he combating fear? By us having value in God's eyes. That God would even count our hairs. And got a record of them. You say, well, Brother Donnie, he don't have to count much on me anymore. No, but he's got a file. Don't worry about it. He's got the file. If you had 3,982, they're still on record in heaven. Praise the Lord. Why would he say such a thing? Our hair? Well, you know this time, hair plaiting and all that sort of thing, what they would do. But Jesus would go to the hair, not the eyes, not the fingers, not the toes, but the hair to show what? How much value that the very least part had in the eyes of God. To reverse what? The effect of fear. Listen to this in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Can you believe he gets enjoyment out of giving us the kingdom? It actually brings God's pleasure. No, the Bible does not say that God got pleasure when he created the earth. The Bible does not say God got pleasure when he made the millions and millions of stars. But this gives God pleasure to give us the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. He enjoys, oh glory. Don't you imagine he enjoys giving us the revelation of the word? He enjoys healing us. He enjoys giving us deliverance. It brings him pleasure. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If it makes God happy to bless me, I'm going to make room to be blessed. If he wants to reveal things to me, I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. Have at it. Pour it out on me, Jesus. If you want to bless me real good, Lord, and let me shout, I got my shouting shoes on. I'm going to knock God out of a blessing. If God gets a blessing by me being blessed, why shouldn't I enjoy it? Notice this now in Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba. Father. Notice 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. This is my affirmation. I have not received the spirit of fear. Let's look down here now at Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can you imagine the setting when this book of Hebrews is written? People are being torn apart by wild horses. Christians are being crucified. They're being beaten. Mark had already been beat to death by the priest of Greece. What a fuller's club. Matthew had died on a cross in the form of an X. The children of God being filled with the Holy Ghost, and dogs were allowed to tear their guts out of them while they died in agonizing pain. And yet Paul said, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Revelation chapter 2 verse 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And then he goes ahead and tells them a little bit of it. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Now before he tells them what they're going to go through, he tells them, don't be afraid. Amen. But what if Jesus come to you and said, don't be afraid now. Some of you is going to be cast in jail. Some of you, they'll feed you to the wild dogs. Some of your husbands, your wives, they'll rape them. They'll mutilate them. They'll set their hair on fire and burn them in front of you. But don't be afraid. How in the world could he expect them not to be afraid? Because he had not given them the spirit of fear. He had given them the spirit of adoption. The devil shall cast some of you into prison, but you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Now these are prophetic days. It was under the emperor Diocletian, which is actually not 10 days, but actually 10 years of days, prophetic days. So it was 10 years that the church suffered. But be thou faithful unto more cars, bigger houses, more lands, more property. He tells them before it ever happens, you're going to be killed. You're going to be slain. But be faithful unto death. And don't fear them. Do you believe there was actually saints of God, Brother Dan, during that time frame that walked right up there and laid their head on the chop block and did not fear it? Do you believe it? What if they could do it under the admonition of the anointing of that hour? Cannot we, as the bride of Jesus Christ, arise at our hour and say, I will not fear Satan. I will not fear his mark. I will not fear his image, nor his name. Nor will I fear backsliders that are pulling away from the word of God for this hour. Let them fabricate their lies. Let them start their websites. We will go on. Watch this. Brother Ram says, don't fear. Fear is of the devil. Just like smoking, drinking, adultery. But tell me, why do we welcome this part from the devil and we so hate other parts from him? Why is it we allow fear to be a welcome guest in our mind, in our homes, in our churches? I didn't say you all, I said us. Remember, when I point this finger at you, I got all these others pointed back at me. So when I give you both hands, man, I'm really in trouble. Brother Donnie, you got fears? Yes. Do you need help? Yes. Do you expect help? Yes. Hallelujah. Notice his fears of the devil. Everything Jesus would say, fear not, constantly, fear not. Is that right? Always fear not. God don't want you to fear. He wants you to believe. Notice, and you don't underestimate Jesus Christ either, because he's the power over all powers. Don't be afraid of Satan. Again, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you Christians sitting here tonight are scared to death of the devil. You're scared of what he can do in your job, in your finances, in your body. You're scared what he'll do to this church. I'm afraid he's going to make Brother Donnie back. Our church is going to fall apart. Keep your old dirty substance to yourself. I don't want it. I don't believe the church is going to fall apart. I don't believe I'm on the backside. I ain't looking for all the preachers to go away. My substance says there'll be a true church. My substance says, amen, there'll always be a God called ministry with ministry of deliverance. Oh my, don't be afraid of Satan. As long as you're in him, speaking about in Christ now. But if you're not in him, you better tremble. But if you're in him, not even death itself can harm you. You're free from all fear. This quote right here, which was said in March the 27th, 1953, shows me that the pastor of this church, the deacons, the trustees, every person who comes here, needs to move up. Unless you are free from all fear tonight, you should have said amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, I realize we measure how much we are in God by our depth. How deep we are. I'll tell you, friends, those in the days of Noah that were the deepest were the ones that was the most in trouble. Noah wasn't a very deep sort of guy, but he had a message of deliverance and salvation. But those that was in the deep, well, you kind of understand my story. I challenge you sometime, look up how many times Brother Branham uses the word deep and look up how much time he says forgiveness and mercy and love. Come on. Now watch this. Lord Jesus. You're free from all fear. Oh, when I think of that, I want to shout hallelujah, amen. Oh. What's this? The biggest trouble that there is in the church today is a bunch of fear. People's always scared, and that's of the devil. Don't be scared. Be brave. As a matter of fact, he said it over and over again, God hates a coward. Man alive, do you realize you can pack a Bible and a message book and God hates you because you're yellow? You got a yellow streak up your back and you look like a skunk. I mean, you're afraid to take God at his words. You won't stand. You won't stand beyond your feelings, beyond your emotion. You let all that dictate to you. God hates a coward. Matter of fact, Brother Aaron quoted that little saying over and over again, a coward dies a thousand deaths, but a hero never dies. Watch this again. That's the trouble with man tonight. That's the trouble with people. You're scared. I want you to listen to this, friends. That's the biggest curse that there is on the full gospel people or any other people. It's because they're afraid. God has made the provision, but if you're afraid to take his word for it, if you wasn't afraid tonight, you'd take your healing by faith. And know that God promised him the thing would just go plumb away from you. Oh my. Afraid, scared, I've noticed it. And the reason I'm such a believer in healing, I know, Lord help me tonight. I know that if I can get you away from that scare and get love in its place, something's going to happen. Can't you see why you can't be scared and have the right to degree of love. One crowds out the other, but you can't have the right degree of love and be scared either. So we gotta make our choice, love or fear.
Lord Jesus, help us, Father. There's only two faculties that govern a human. One of them is faith, which brings results. And the other one is fear, which has no value in it at all. Faith is of God. Fear is of the devil. Fear makes you weary. Fear makes you wonder. Now let's look at some physical effects of fear. Let's examine some documented cases that deal with fear and prove the power of the mind to bring fear into materialization. In New York Times, July 26, 1970, an article described a 4-year-old child who had a bad experience with a local anesthetic for stitches taken from her forehead. When she went to the dentist to have some baby teeth extracted, she screamed hysterically in the dentist's chair. He gave the child a sedative to quiet her for the examination. Within a few minutes after having her teeth removed, the child had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital where she died 2 days later. The autopsy found very high levels of adrenaline in her bloodstream due to fear that caused her to have a heart attack. Fear of the dentist resulted in the child's death. So we see excess fear can be catastrophic on a person's mind. In the case y'all ain't pinched yourself yet in these first 25, 30 minutes of my sermon, y'all are still humans. You're still flesh. Listen to this. And another example of psychosomatics. A psychosomatics is pertaining to a physical disorder that is caused by or notably influenced by emotional factors, pertaining to or involving both the mind and the body. The authors write about fear. There's evidence that extreme anxiety in the form of panic and terror can be fatal. Listen to this. 85% of the people who die from snake bite don't have enough venom in their bloodstream to account for their deaths. 85% of people who are bitten by venomous snakes and die do not have enough venom in their body to kill them. Prior to this sermon, I'd probably been the 85%. But after this sermon, there are going to be 84.99999 less. Or at least one on that dot anyway. Anybody going to join with me? Now listen, friend, this is absolutely phenomenal to me. Then how do they die? Researchers suggest the terror felt by a person who receives a potentially fatal snake bite may cause heart failure. It is startling to note that not the snake's venom, but the fear and shock in the victim's minds. And their presumed image of death associated with a snake bite causes them to have a heart attack. In short, the meaning of the victim associates with the snake bite causes his death. Can't you see then why when people would get cancer or they'd get this or that or the other, the image that they had in their mind as Uncle So-and-so that they saw withering away on a bed dying, gasping for breath, or their mother or an aunt or so-and-so, and they had this image in their mind, oh God, I'm going to die. Don't you let that devil put that image in your mind. Pray that God will give you an image of a whole man before you or a whole woman and say, that's me. Most interesting example of fear and its effects on the body can be shown in a case where the fear of pain during pregnancy actually closed the fallopian tubes of a woman. The patient was married at 20 and wanted to start a family right away. But after 3 years of trying without conception,
She went to a doctor. It was known by medical science that injury and infection can cause the fallopian tubes to close. Dr. Flanders Dunbar, who described this case, said it was known that emotional crisis or shock can close these tubes, just as it may make one clench one's fist. He stated that he found his patient's tubes closed during ovulation. But when the ovulation was over, he found his patient's tubes open again. I believe his conclusion, said Dr. Dunbar, was that the muscles contracted involuntarily at the time of ovulation. Excuse me. The reason for the closing of the tube was the woman's deep fear of pain associated in childbirth in her mind. So she's wanting a baby. Her and her husband. And they try. But the very problem is in her mind. Psychosomatics. Now the woman's not mentally wrong. There's nothing wrong with her mentally. But in from her brain, from the imagery in her mind that she contracted when she was a little girl, the trauma of severe pain in childbirth. Then when her body would go into the cycle reproduction, her body from her mind, whenever it connects together, psychosomatics. So it would actually cause the tubes to close up. Because the mind was saying, you are not going to have a baby. I can't stand this pain. I can't stand it. So I'm protecting you. Sort of like that something in your subconscious will keep you from testifying that you're healed or delivered or whatever. And it'll tell you, I'm not going to allow you to make a fool out of yourself the way so-and-so did. They got up there and said they was healed, and look at there, they died. I'm not allowing it for you. These fears and images were placed in her when she was a child. Again, we see the reproductive system of a woman reacting to fear's power on the mind. Now notice, totally invisible. Totally invisible to the outside. Maybe the doctor's done this test and why there's no reason. I mean, we took your eggs, all that sort of thing. It's all there. You can reproduce. But there's something going on. What was it? From her mind. So the psychosomatics that had linked her mind and her body together, and what the mind thought, it would not allow the body. It would not allow the body. Now notice, the heart wants a baby, but the mind says, I cannot bear the pain. I cannot bear the image of that. Oh no, I cannot bear it. So it would close up a tube. Like a clenched fist. Month after month, year after year, her heart was broken and her mind was breaking it. Of course, if she had been a message person, she'd have blamed God. In this case, it wasn't God or even the poor old scoundry devil. It was her own thinking. I think we're going to find out one of these days a lot of what we go through is neither God nor the devil, but our old stinking self. Can I preach for a while? Oh, my. Now watch this. There are numerous cases in medicine where fear impairs the operation of the reproduction system. Now, if it can do this naturally in a woman, what about spiritually in the bride? For the bride in her mind gets in her mind, we must lose people. We must fall away. We must get to a place that there's bad enough people to pay the light bill, much less the insurance. Preachers can't be anointed in the last day. Preacher, we can't have meetings no more. Oh, we gotta just come to church and sit there like a bump on a pickle. We can't have a move of God. Will you? Who are you talking about? We? You got a mouse in your pocket? Is that you and your wife and your kids? Don't include me and your we. I don't belong to that group. I belong to the church of the firstborn. Who says God is always supernatural. And if God moved on Pentecost, He's obligated to move again today. So we don't witness, we don't reach out to people. You know, people backslide, we let them go. We just mark a big X. They're all gone. They're always supposed to be this way. and our spiritual reproduction would just tighten up. So since we can't give birth, we just proselyte. So we hand out message books and get them dire doctrines and don't get them to a new birth. Then in 6 months or a year, somebody else gets them to another doctrine, then they hate us. Why? Because they're not born. We only proselyte them. We give them a book, give them a tape. I'm not against that now, but it ain't good enough to give a Baptist a message book and let him remain a Baptist in a message church. When are we going to realize we've got Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Presbyterian, and everything sitting in message churches that ain't had a word birth? You know why? Because we thumb over here, or by occasion, we click on that quote in Invisible Union, and we see, oh no. Brother Branham said the second Adam's children, they shout, they scream, they speak in tongues. That's the only kind that the second Adam can bring forth. And then we close it. Ooh, ooh. Ooh. So then our tubes tighten up. Well, y'all quiet, but I'm going to preach with or without you. Watch Brother Branham now. 1959. I know he's not supposed to be a prophet, according to a bunch of these heretics. Blasphemers. Don't you notice what he said in 1959? You take a young woman. She'll maybe be married, she and her husband. She's scared she isn't going to have a baby. She wants one. She's so scared she won't have it. She won't. Because just like Job said, the things I feared the most came upon me. Now watch, before these doctors were ever born, God had his prophet setting forth these principles that years on down the road, psychosomatics and all kind of other somatics and psychos both would finally figure it out. So here's a prophet of God, but no PhD, no LLD, no great education, didn't even graduate from high school, but he was a mystic. A mystic. I'll let you wonder on that. Now watch this, but you see, you take that same woman. Now, if there's doctors, which there probably is sitting here, and nurses, you take that same woman and let her adopt a baby. And then she'll have one herself. Woo! Glory! See, it quietens her. How in the world can a baby quieten a woman? That's a miracle with me. Woo! How can a squalling young and you feed it, changing his diapers and all that sort of thing, but it's the thing about motherhood. Now notice what'll happen. It quietens her. Now if you haven't got enough faith, well, I thought we were talking about having a baby. We are. Now listen, if you need a baby tonight, listen. I ain't talking about just a squalling little young, and I'm talking about a baby in your life. Oh, glory. If you haven't got enough faith to receive it right now as a miracle. Now say you need a baby in your life. But you ain't got enough faith to have a miracle baby. Then take the adopted baby attitude. Lord, it's mine because you promised it. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. Don't you see what the adopted baby route is? You look at God's word and you say it's true. But is that adopted baby of that woman's genes? No. Do a DNA test. Check the blood. Check all of it you want to check. But you try telling her from her heart that that ain't her baby. And if that's her baby from her heart, she'll be a greater mother to that baby than her natural genetic mother or her DNA mother, birth mother, whatever you want to call her, could have been, because some of them give them away. They don't care nothing for them. So which one was really the mother of that baby? And God's promise may look like it's so far from you. It may not even look like it's your DNA. It may not look like it's your genetic makeup. And it may seem so different. But take that adopted baby in your arms. By His stripes I am healed. I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. Oh, hallelujah! And you know what will happen? Your heart will turn toward that baby. And God will make your body obey that confession. Then take the adopted baby attitude, Lord. It's mine because you promised it. I'll go from here tonight praising you just the same as I was well. Watch what happens. You'll receive it. It has to happen. God promised it. So He's the infinite God. If you can feel just the least little speck of faith. Boy, you know what? He don't require much, does He? If you can feel not a whole washtub full, not a building full, just the least little speck. Just the least... Oh. The least little speck of faith that tells you you'll be alright. You believe it. You just go on thanking Him for it. Rock that baby, feed that baby, clothe that baby, birth that baby, love that baby. Watch how fear can grasp a hold of words. Dr. Levine was an accomplished physician who possessed an awesome presence. And it was said that his patients literally believed every word he said. The situation arose that one of his patients, Mrs. S, had a tricuspid valve, the narrowing of one of the valves on the right side of her heart. She had experienced a low-grade chronic heart failure, but was helped with medication. Dr. Levine, entering the clinic with a group of trainees, warmly greeted Mrs. S and examined her. Upon leaving her room, he said to the young doctors, "This woman has TS. Mrs. S's demeanor changed immediately. She appeared fearful and began to breathe rapidly and deeply, obviously hyperventilating. Soon her skin was drenched with perspiration and her pulse increased to more than 150 per minute. Her lungs were filling with fluid, although they were clear a few minutes earlier. Dr. Lown asked her why she was so upset. She replied that Dr. Levine had said that she had TS, which she knew meant terminal situation. This amused Dr. Lown initially, for he knew that the acronym stood for tricuspid stenosis. Lord Jesus, can't you see how when we hear something, how it's interpreted to us, and the way we hear it can be life or death? The condition of her heart valve, Mrs. S, failed, however, to be reassured by this explanation. So she kept going to these websites of all this garbage. Just a strange move we got on going around us, friends. Most generally, every move, you know, down through time has been led by some kind of preacher that followed folks off into some gift or some church. But this anti-move around us, no preacher leading it. No church they're taking them to. But they're all feeding, though. They're feeding on websites and forums. And they're becoming what they are feeding on. Hateful, contrary, murderous, despisers of those that are good. Now it depends on what they hear when they play the tapes, when they search the message. They hear TS. We hear TS too. Glory. But we realize that this prophet of God was a man like every other prophet. Oh, Brother Donnie, I won't accept that unless there's a witness of it. And who was it that witnessed that God wrote the Ten Commandments on the mountain with Moses? We have one man's word for that, a man by the name of Moses, who was a former murderer. We have one man's word for it that God told him he would make him the father of many nations, and that man was a liar. The man called Abraham. Well, glory, should I go on? Now watch what happens to this woman. Her congestion worsened. Her lungs continued to fill with fluid and she lost consciousness. Unable to breathe, she died later in the day from irretractable heart failure in the doctor's office. And you wonder why folks can come to church and die in church? This is the hospital. This is the doctor's office, as it were. It depends on what you're hearing. If you think it's a bunch of hollering, screaming, spitting preachers, you'll die right here. But if you're able to receive the things that God's sending us as words of life and words from the Master, it'll reverse your spiritual heart congestion. It'll take the fluid out of your spiritual lungs. Amen. It'll breathe the breath of life into you. It depends on how you hear T.S. Can you imagine how this man must have felt as he was contacted by this other doctor later in the day? Notice Brother Brim said after, through the services of the week, trying to show the people there's no need of being scared. Listen to this, children. The worst thing the devil can put upon you is fear. Why is it we don't hear more of it preached? Even if you had a cancer and didn't fear and believe God would heal you, you wouldn't be too bad a shape. God take care of that. If you were sick, whatever it is, if you didn't fear, so fear is one of the worst things that Satan can place upon the person. Notice again, one of the greatest curses on the church today is fear. Everybody's scared to death. What's going to happen? Who, what? Why, Jesus, even the fearful sights come. Lift up your head and rejoice. Your redemption's done now. Let me have just a few more minutes. Thanks to the efforts of concerned scientists, we now know that fear is the greatest threat facing human beings today. Now, Brother Branham says this in 1953 and WebMD says it in 2013. They finally caught up. Bless their little hearts. Fear, the greatest thing facing human beings today. It has more power than any external force or influence to profoundly affect your physical and emotional well-being over your lifetime. A human being living in a grip of fear spends his life living a fate worse than any victim of nuclear fallout. A recent study orchestrated by the World Health Organization examined the physical and mental ramifications of three of the biggest nuclear disasters in recent history. Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, Nagasaki, and Hiroshima. And what they found was that the greatest threat to the health of the victims of these tragedies wasn't cancer. It was the insidious effects of their fear of developing cancer. Lord, children, may God help us. Fear posed a bigger physical threat to victims of nuclear fallout than the radiation itself. According to John Boyce, Jr., cancer epidemiologist, nuclear radiation only slightly increases your risk of getting cancer, about one-tenth the risk of smoking cigarettes. But people fear the effects of radiation much more than they fear the effects of smoking. And as it turns out, those exposed to radiation were so afraid that they might have cancer
that many did not seek treatment. So they were so afraid that they might have it, they wouldn't seek help. Listen to this. Although 99% of the cancers at Chernobyl, for an instance, were treatable, fear made some wait until it was too late. Nuclear radiation didn't kill them. Their fear did. Lord, help us. Anxiety attacks are perhaps the most acute physical manifestations of fear. An anxiety attack causes your heart to beat so rapidly that many rush to the emergency room. Until recently, those fears were thought to be unsubstantiated. But Time recently reported on a study in the Journal of American College of Cardiology that proved that frequent acute bouts of fear and anxiety does in fact increase your risk of heart attack. But according to Stephen Cole, lecturer and founder of Pranic Healing, by the time most people feel the physical effects of fear that intensely, they've been suffering for quite some time. For most people, the constant undertow of fear they feel on a daily basis has similarly subdued physical effects. According to a 2007 study published in the International Institute of Society of Health, living with fear over a long period of time results in reduced physical functioning. Your organ system stop functioning at their peak. Healthy individuals have a lower quality of life, getting sicker more often and staying sicker longer. Why? Fear. Afraid. Afraid of a heart attack. Afraid of a stroke. Afraid of this. Afraid of that. And Satan knows if we fear it long enough and hard enough, our own fear will bring it to us. People with compromised systems suffer exaggerated effects of their illness, but as most are unaware of the cause, their weakened conditions begin to feel like the status quo. According to a 2001 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Physiology, psychology, one of fear's sneakiest tricks is convincing us that the realm of possibility is more limited than it really is. It causes risk-avoiding behavior. It tells us that we're not good enough or smart enough and robs us of all that we could have been. Fear can create the illusion that life is so small, pointless, and hard to bear that some decide it's not worth living at all. Fear of rejection makes them lonely. And hopeless sometimes drives him to suicide. The effects of fear. Now let me close. How many of us here tonight in this building, those around the world that are hearing it, and that will hear it next week and the next and so on, may we look at our lives. May God pass by us tonight. May God do a great scan on our souls, our minds, our beings. May God pass by me and show me the fears, the deep hidden things that are within me that would cause me to fall short of reaching the full capacity of my ministry because I keep looking at preachers that have failed, preachers that have fallen. So instead of ever reaching my full potential of what God wants me to be, I'll always set myself back from the goal. For in my mind, I figured out a place to where I've seen preachers reach. And once they reach that spot, Brother Terry, then they backslid from there. So I figure where that goal is in my mind, and I keep myself way back shy of that. So in other words, I'm trying to save myself. I'm trying to keep myself. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. How many of you have set your goals in God? Way, way far back of what God wants you to be. Because it feels comfortable, safe. And more fears Fears of what this one says. Fears of what that one says. I can't do this and I can't do that. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I can't do this and I can't do something else. And those fears moving in our mind. And then they begin to correlate to the psychosomatics of our system, the way we're made. And then we begin to have effects in our body. You know, doctors have told people, oh, that's just in your mind. That's just in your head. Now, you know, many people get offended at that. That's not offensive. Psycho means psyche, which is your mind. Or Hebrew word for soul. So in that is the connection. From here, the chemistry in the brain changing in a negative way can affect, and then your body goes to acting. Closing up the reproductive tube, stopping this, stopping that. Causing anxiety. Cause your blood pressure to go through the roof. Cause headaches, do you feel like your head's gonna bust? Causing you to look at your walk with God and think, I'm useless, I'm hopeless. Fear. Fear. And that fear will become greater and greater, just like faith, until it actually starts creating a substance. And then that substance will spill over into the elements of time and into your body. You got a feeling this and that and the other. Oh, oh. I've experienced it, friends. If you've ever one time had a kidney stone, and you ever have another pain in between the general area of here and here. Is that right, Brother Randy? Brother Jim? Any of these brothers that's ever had kidney stones? Just the least little tweak in your back. Remember the Homer, Longoria was going down to Greenville one time, down to Kiker's, down at the suit store. Used to take him down and would browse around through all that junk that guy had down there. I was going down the road driving, just fellowshipping, talking about the word. All of a sudden, jabbing pain in my back. I thought, oh, Lord, no. I broke out in a cold sweat, about like I am right now. Fear gripped me. I'm talking about fear. Brother Donnie, not you. Yes, me. I don't have wings on my back. I said, Brother Homer, pray for me, buddy. It feels like I'm getting a kidney stone. Oh, Lord Jesus, he said. And he's never even had one. He would say, Lord Jesus, if he had. But he started praying for me. And I felt the fear. I felt the fear. Leave me, Brother Jim, before the pain ever subsided. Oh, glory to God. I felt the fear. The sweat stopped and the clenching of my fist and my foot sitting there shaking on the floor mat. I felt the fear leave me. And then in a little while, the pain was all gone. What was happening? It was my mind connecting. The first one I ever had, and my pretty little wife was flying through out of Frog Level Road, going up through the hospital, and the police got after her. I said, go on, I'll pay the ticket. I was in the back seat of the car, in the floorboard of the car, and when she pulled me up to the emergency room, I opened the door and fell out, and the cop took me in. So that image in my mind, and that pain, and all that suffering, come on children, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Donnie, can a person get to where that don't bother him? I believe we can. I don't believe God wants fear to control our lives. Will it always try to be there? Sure it will. Will there always be things that'll scare us? Yes. Stimuli. But God does not want that stimuli to begin to control this. Because this will start controlling this. You know what's amazing? Listen to this. That fear, depression, and suicidal thinking. You know what happens? Fear can create illusion that is so small, pointless, hard to bear. Those scientists studying the effects of fear in the victims of nuclear radiation found significantly elevated rates of suicidal thinking and anxiety disorders and rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. And that fear, depression, and suicidal thinking was passed on to their children like a deadly disease. Once raised in that culture of fear. they carried sometimes irrational fear throughout their daily lives, had poor mental and physical health because of it. And scientists learned that people who lead fear-driven lives have children who follow suit. Fear is contagious, and we transmit it to the ones we love most. God help us. God help us. No doubt that's where some of you got it. But it can stop with you if you want it to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is perhaps one of the most compelling arguments for the dangers of fear. It not only destroys your physical and mental well-being, but that of those around you. People can survive a tragedy, even be made stronger by it. But fear, in all of its forms, can stalk people from generation to generation unless they learn to conquer it. Now, what if Sister Jessica remains a fear, has this fear in her life, all of her life? Of course. I love the way they ended that video. Because it was an automobile accident that all these things was an onset. What a way to close the story. I'm Jessica Ward. I serve an awesome God. She wasn't pushing a doll buggy. She's driving a vehicle. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. She wasn't sitting inside a house with the windows all pulled and the shades all pulled. I'm Jessica Ward. I serve an awesome God. That would have ruined that whole thing. So what kind of testimony do you think you have to your children? You tell them how big your God is. And then you're scared to death. If we're going to tell him he's big, look, I act like he's big. If we're going to sing he's got it all in control, let's live like he does. Let's act like he does. Do you understand why we have a generation of youth around this message that are so against preachers? Many of their parents instill that in them. So what will the next generation make? Can you imagine the fallout of some of the stuff we're dealing with right now? Can you imagine the next generation, if there is any? God have mercy. Why? It's instilled in them. Scared to death of preachers. Wouldn't hear one preach for nothing in the world. Scared to death even hear a preacher testify. They're so poisoned against them. Yet you hear TS and you shout and scream and glory, hallelujah. Why? Raised in that contagion of fear. Lord. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord God, as I sit studying these things, I had so many flashbacks of my own life. Fears that were instilled in me as a child. Things that happened to me. Things I wish I could forget. Lies that people have told. And things that people do. And things that people misinterpret your motives and your objectives. And all of us could go all night long and probably never express all of our fears. And Lord, I know that you've left us in this body so that we would be affected by stimuli of fear. But the fear that controls us. The fear that Brother Branham said was of the devil. As I got to reading these things, it made me ashamed. Because I realized this sorry devil has moved on my mind and moved on my memory and moved on these senses. And I have allowed him. I have He wasn't big enough to do it himself. But I allowed him to do it. Fear of this and fear of that and fear of something else and trauma and whatever more anxiety. I'm sure all of us can look tonight and see. Lord, and I want you to know, I stand here tonight in the need of your help. I do not want fear of any of the ungodly kind to control me. Oh, sure, if somebody comes up behind me and screams, I'll always jump, and there'll be things that'll always frighten me. If I'm flying in a plane and we fall 3,000 or 4,000 feet in turbulence, I'll still nearly tear the arms off the seats. It's just something about us as humans. But Lord, I do not want this fear to move so into my mind and then link into my body that I begin to have psychosomatic reactions. Lord, we can be so afraid of people that we trust nobody. Nobody. It's sad, but so many people in the message, that's where they are. They trust absolutely nobody. Help us, Lord, I pray. They may think they're free, but they're not. They're bound with fear. The fear of trusting. They're so afraid to trust. They're bound by fear. Folks listen to tapes every day, and they're so held by fear, they never go to a church. They're so afraid they'll be deceived or led down the wrong path. Lord, I thank you for liberty. Deliver me, Lord God, from all fear. Deliver me from the fear of man, from the fear of sickness, disease, trouble. Deliver me from the fear of my enemy. Grant it, Lord God. These people standing here tonight, some of them may have sickness, terrible disease, terrible things going on in their home, their family, on their jobs. Help them, Lord. They may look at the economy and say, boy, it's bad. I'm scared to death I'll lose my job. Help them, Lord, to realize their fear can put substance to that. But help them, Lord, to move beyond that and say, my God will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. I once was young and now I'm old. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Help us, Lord Jesus. How many here with me in this building tonight can recognize in your life you need deliverance from fear? Not godly, holy fear now, but fear of the devil. Whether it affects you psychologically or physically or emotionally or in your home or church, whatever it is. If I had physical strength and it wouldn't take so much out of me for the service in the morning, I'd run each one of you through a prayer line tonight. And I would let you tell to me whatever it is that's on your heart. And I would pray as long as need be until I felt the Lord God moved for you. But more than likely, if I did that, especially with the anointing I feel right now, I probably wouldn't be able to preach in the morning because it so physically depletes me. But I believe it's written in the Word, they shall lay their hands. Brother Branham, over and over again, would have the people, eagle to eagle, believer to believer, he'd call it, one upon the other. You may not have the authority to cast out devils, but each one of you have the authority as a Christian to pray for your brother, sister. Would you do that for me? For them, for the kingdom of God? And you're praying for them and they're going to pray for you. And unless you're husband or wife or unless you're real close friends, you probably don't even know each other's fears. You don't know each other's phobias and traumas and things of life that you've been through. And really it's not necessary that you do. But I can tell you that most of the people in this building tonight have lifted their hand. Probably all kinds of them out there streaming the service did likewise. I want you to pray for one another now. Heavenly Father, I believe we've heard your word tonight, Lord. Dear Jesus, every mortal here has experienced fear of some sort. Many of them were taught them as a child. Many of them, Lord, we learned later in life. But we know what torment fear can have, the trauma that it can bring in our lives. Lord Jesus, we know that you'll not remove all stimuli from our bodies and our nervous system and all that sort of thing. But Lord, I just can't believe it's pleasing to you, Father, that we would live lives under a torment of fear. Some of these people, Lord, it shows itself in their body. And others, it shows itself in their relationships with one another. It affects them socially. They cannot really have friends and they can't really trust and all that. So it affects them socially because the fear that affected them was in a social way. Maybe some, Lord, were abused sexually or verbally or whatever more, and it's placed such a fear there in them, dear God. Lord, may your presence, Lord Jesus, move among us tonight, oh God, I pray. Oh, hallelujah. May the angels of God move among your people tonight, Lord. The Bible says you sent your word and heal them. Lord God, may we leave this place tonight knowing that this type of fear is of the devil. I don't want to smoke because it's of the devil. I don't want to commit adultery because it's of the devil. Many of these other things I don't want to do because it's of the devil. May I despise and hate this fear as much as I do all of that. May these people not look at fear as a friend. May they not look at fear as something they have to deal with, but may they look at it from this night forward as an enemy. An enemy of the cross, an enemy of Christ, an enemy of them. Lord Jesus, may he not be welcome in our homes. May this fear not be welcome in our church. May it not be welcome in our mind correlation to our body. Father, help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan is a servant of God. I speak to you tonight, Satan. The Holy Ghost gave me these words to bring to these people. I adjure you by the power of the living God. Come out of these people. You spirit of fear. They will try to hold their minds, try to hold their bodies, hold their spirits. I tell you tonight, you are defeated, Satan. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are defeated by the power of the living God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Terrified. I said, oh, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. Don't be afraid of him. It's Jesus. It's your healer. It's your deliverer. It's Jesus. Lord God, bless your name, Lord. I bless your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, glory. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? He who subdues our fears. Oh, glory, we have not received the spirit of fear, friends, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. Amen. We've not received a slavish spirit. That's what that word is there in Romans. We've not received the spirit of a slave. We were to live under the bondage of a slave all of our life and think our master may sell us, our master may beat us, our master may turn us away. God don't want us living this Christian life under the attitude of a slave. We're not slaves in that sense. We are children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psychosomatics can work in such a way that I could think negativity for so long. that my body would begin to reflect it. What if I begin to think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, and I begin to think changed thoughts and rapture thoughts and resurrection thoughts. Reckon there's not a spiritual psychosomatics on the other side that my body will begin to respond to my thoughts? Hallelujah! That my body will respond to my rapturing thoughts and I'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The way fear affects the body, the general perception is heart palpitation, unexplained sweating, clenching of the fist and teeth, change in eye movements, facial expressions, and a numb thought process. These effects are observed by all of us when we sense a dangerous stimuli. Well, a danger can do that. What can joy do? Change expressions. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Praise God, I'm a child of the King! If fear can do that, can joy do it? Can deliverance make our bodies respond?
Praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's sing together now. Don't sing like slaves. Don't sing like you've got chains rattling on you and you're scared to death of God. You're scared to look at Him and you're not a slave. You're a son and daughter. We don't come like slaves. Oh, Master, don't kill me. Don't beat me. But we walk up with boldness before the throne of God. Say, Father, you want to bless me tonight? I don't want to knock you out of a blessing, Lord. If it gives you pleasure, Lord, to give me a little more of the kingdom, here's my cup. Fill it up. Sing it, hey.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future. My life is worth the living. Just because He lived, because He lived, because He lives, my fear is gone. Because He lives.
Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God.
My fear is gone.
Lord God, Lord God, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of you fight the fear constantly that you'll miss the rapture. That you're not good enough, you're not holy enough. You'll never be one of them. I resent that away from you tonight. When the devil tells me that, you mean when he tells you that, Brother Donnie? He does. But you know what I tell him right back? I'm the reason there is a rapture. It cannot be without me. I am a part of the rapture. Amen! I will not miss it, because it's already happening in my body right now. It's already going on right now. He's changing me by His Word. Glory to God! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise His name. Praise His name. I would not be denied. Hallelujah. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Till Jesus came, I lived. Robert! Let's sing it, church.
Satan said. said my Lord was gone. And he would not hear our prayer. The brothers say a prayer.
Jesus Christ tonight, I would not be denied. You're dismissed in His name. Don't believe it tonight.
Denied until Jesus came. Yes, He made me whole. I would not be denied. When pains of death seize on my soul, unto Lord, I cry till Jesus came and He made me whole. I would not be denied.
Amen.
The bride won't be denied. No, I would not be denied
till Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.